This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are on a series called The Rapture and the Return of Jesus. And you know, it's good to know a little bit about what's going on. Amen? And I love the Bible because it's a prophetic book. One third of the Bible is made of prophecy. And prophecy is written and oral communication from God to us to reveal future events. Amen? And we found out last week in Ezekiel 38 reveals that the enemies of Israel, talks about Russia and other Middle Eastern countries, will make alliances to come against Israel. It seems like somebody's always coming against Israel. But as Christians, we don't come against Israel. We pray for Israel. Amen? There are some people that think that Israel's the enemy. They're not the enemy. Amen? And the Bible says, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Amen. They're God's chosen people. And we know that the Bible is made up of prophecies, and there's over 300 prophecies just talking about Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. Can you believe that? With accuracy. And so if God was able to reveal truth in the Old Testament about Jesus, He can reveal truth about future events that's going to happen down the road. Amen? And the Bible talks about Jesus coming back for the church, and that's called the blessed hope. Somebody say the blessed hope. Blessed hope. Amen. In Titus 2:11-13, it says, "For by the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." I love that. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So this is saying here that if we're Christians, we need to walk like Christians. It's saying here that we need to deny ungodliness and worldliness, glory to God, and live soberly in this life. How many people are living soberly in this life, glory to God? And I love that. And so it's the grace of God that prepares us for the return of Jesus. Again, what keeps us pure in our walk is realizing that Jesus is coming back. Amen. That He's coming back sooner than we think. Titus 2:13, looking at that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the early church believed Jesus was coming back then. And they would greet one another, "Maranatha," which means, "Lord, come quickly." And I'm telling you, they were thinking about Jesus coming back then. How much sooner is He coming back now? How much sooner are we to the return of Jesus? We talked about this last week. Jesus prepared His disciples. And this is a rapture scripture. He says here in John 14:3. First of all, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." So don't get nervous about the rapture. "Believe in God, believe also in me." And then in John 14:3, He says, "And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may be also." I love that. So Jesus is preparing a place for us. So we don't need to get nervous about the end times. We don't need to buy into the idea that we're going through the tribulation, because I think I explained it last week pretty strongly that Jesus is picking us up before the 7-year tribulation that's going to come on this earth, and it's going to be bad. Amen. But you know what? I mean, think about this. Has anybody experienced the smoke that was in the atmosphere the past couple days? That's just a little smoke. Just think what the 7-year tribulation is going to be like. That was just a little bit. That was nothing compared to what the 7-year tribulation is going to be like. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul reveals the rapture of the church. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," which what he means by that is we shall not all die, go this way of the grave, "but we shall all be changed. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Powerful. You know, I think we all want to live forever. I think that's placed in the heart of mankind, is that we want to live forever. Nobody wants to die. And I'm going to say this, if Jesus comes back, and I believe he's coming back before I go the way of the grave and before you go the way, I believe it's in our time, we won't see death. We will be instantly changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's great news. Amen. So I gave some convincing scriptures pertaining to that. In Luke 21:36, Jesus is talking about the rapture. He's talking about coming back. And he says here, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. So how are we going to be counted worthy to receive to be in the rapture? Well, we got to be prayer people. You got to be in constant communication with the Lord. You got to be praying. Amen. The Bible says pray always, unceasing, always stay in communication with the Lord. Amen. And I love this. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are some scriptures saying that we're going to escape the 7-year tribulation. And 2 Peter 2:9, it says here, then the Lord knows how to rescue the devout from trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So we see here in 2 Peter that really what Jesus is saying, or what Peter's saying here in 2 Peter, is that Jesus is coming back on a rescue mission. And he's coming to rescue us from the Antichrist and from the 7-year tribulation. Amen? Amen. And I'm really glad about that. You know, some people believe we're going to go through the tribulation. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're looking for the signs. But I believe we should be looking for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says when you see all these things happening, all the earthquakes, the pestilence, the famines, the wars, the rumor of wars, when you see all these things happening, look for the Antichrist. No, he doesn't say that. He says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. So what are we supposed to be looking for? Jesus. We're supposed to be looking for Jesus to come back and rescue us from this. I'm telling you, have you found out that we're not in Kansas, Toto? That we're not in heaven yet? Have you realized that there's problems down here? There's lots of problems. Do you know God's not running this earth right now? You know, Jesus is coming back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a timeline. So you guys are going to get some information today. So I don't know about you. I know ladies like information. So you're going to get some information. But before we go into the timeline of what's going to go down, it's really interesting. Jesus in Matthew 25 talks about 10 virgins. And I think that this is relating to the rapture of the church. And this is powerful because they're called 10 virgins. So I would think that they're 10 Christians. Amen? If they were 10 virgins. And then it says, let's just read through this account. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us, and you go rather to those to sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, underline that, those who were ready, amen, went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Wow. After the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, therefore, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. You know, when he said, I don't know you, that's telling me that these Christians, if they were Christians at all, they weren't keeping their relationship alive with Christ. And they weren't keeping their oil filled. And so, you know, they weren't ready. Amen? So I believe the key is that you need to be ready and keep your oil filled. And what does that mean? That means that you need to live a life of conviction and commitment. Amen. Somebody say conviction, conviction. And commitment. Amen. But if you're living a life of compromise, are you hearing what I'm saying today? If you're living a little bit in the world and a little bit in God, if you're living a life that's with unrepentant sin in your life, hello, I think you need to get right. Amen. I think you need to repent. If there's areas in your life that you need to change, then I believe that you got to get committed to the Lord and change and get with him. Because sometimes we think just because the axe hasn't fallen, God doesn't see. But there's always, you know, judgment for sin. But you know how you can avoid judgment and sin? Judge yourselves. So what do we do? What does the Bible do? It's a Bible. It's likened to a mirror. And so as you look in the Bible, it shows up any areas in your life that you're doing right and any areas of your life that you may not be doing as well as you could be. And what the Bible should do is should bring us into a place where we are moving closer to Jesus.
Amen.
If I'm in an area of my life I need a change, and I know God's moving on my heart to change, I want to change. Because I don't want judgment coming into my life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I love that. So we want to live a life of commitment. Amen? So before Jesus comes back, we're going to talk about the age. We're in the age right now. The first stanza is that we're in the church age before Jesus returns. So that's where we're at right now. You could say that we're in the age of grace. The church age started in the book of Acts. So when the Holy Spirit filled the upper room of the disciples, and then when Peter preached, 3,000 souls in Acts 2, 41, 42, 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And that church started in Acts 2, and the church is still going. We are in the age of grace. Amen. We have grace. You have common grace for the unbeliever. He has common grace. That means that the sun still shows up. Unbelievers still can have good days. They got but we got supernatural grace. Amen. To live this life righteous before God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The next big event. Now, I believe I have this on a timeline is the rapture, but I believe that we're going to have revival before the rapture comes.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. This is not in my notes, but I believe that God is going to wake the church up, going to wake your family members up. In other words, Jesus is coming back for a harvest.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, a revival is on the way. And I believe that revival is coming closer than you think. He will pour out his spirit on our sons and daughters, and they shall prophesy. So that's some good news today. I believe that. Amen. That's not in your notes. That's free today. I'm not going to charge you for that. Amen. Glory to God. So the next big event after the rapture, some people say, well, there's going to be a great falling away. But yeah, you can decipher that in different ways. Amen. Some people may leave, but I believe a lot more are coming in.
Amen.
Amen. And so I love that. So the next big event in the prophetic timeline is that Jesus is coming back. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, "For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to be suddenly. It's going to be suddenly, glory to God. And that's the reason why you need to be wise, you need to stay ready, and you need to keep your oil filled to be ready for the rapture. And then you have the seven-year tribulation where the Antichrist will take over and God's wrath will be poured out on the earth from all the people that are unrepentant in their sin. Amen. And, nobody likes to talk about judgment. Amen. But God is a good God. He's a righteous God, and he has to judge sin. But sin was already judged for the Christian on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then, of course, if we're watching our P's and Q's, amen, we can activate 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from some, no, from all unrighteousness.
Lord, hallelujah.
You can't wear out that scripture.
Amen.
You can't wear out 1 John 1:9. That is a great scripture, amen. And so here's a couple of scriptures talking about the Antichrist, even though we're looking for Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, all who oppose and exalts who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, talking about the Antichrist, or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist wants to be God. Amen. The devil wants to be worshipped. Amen. He's looking for worship. And see, and the heart of man has to worship. You're worshiping something. Amen. We are created to worship. We are created. All mankind's created to worship. You're either going to worship Jesus, you're going to worship the creator, or you're going to worship the creature. And I'm going to worship the creator. Amen. Glory to God. And I love that. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So this Antichrist will have signs, wonders, and to deceive the people. But you know, we're not going to be here when that's happening. Guess where we're going to be at? We're going to be at a wedding feast in heaven.
Amen.
While all this is down here. But it's good to know what's going on.
Amen.
Just in case you want to tell somebody that you want to let somebody know, hey, hell's coming. Hell's coming. Jesus is coming first. But if they don't get right, then hell is coming and you don't want to be there. There's going to be a lot of people saved in the seven-year tribulation. A lot of people are going to be saved. God's going to sweep in millions of people into the kingdom of God, because they're going to realize that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And sometimes that might be the only way people get saved, is through the tribulation. As long as you get there. Sometimes it's our problems that brings us closer to God. Do you believe that today? Sometimes when we encounter problems, then that means that we need to pray in the process to receive the promise.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that today? And sometimes we have to encounter these problems. Amen. The second coming of Christ is called Armageddon. I think there was a movie called Armageddon. Amen. I don't think it was talking about the second coming of Christ, though. I think, amen. But it's here in Revelation. It says, now I saw in heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. Who's faithful and true? Jesus. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. You are going to get a white horse to come back with Jesus. Amen. Anybody ever rode on a horse? Any horse riders in here? Some people rode on horses here. Amen. No, I got people shaking their heads. Amen. Amen. How about a pony? Okay, no, we won't go there. How about one of those little hobby horses? No, we'll continue. Amen. I used to have a stick with a horse's head on it. Used to run around with it when I was a kid. Anybody used to have one of those? You qualify. You qualify to ride on a white horse. Amen. And glory to God. And he says here that we are saints himself. Let's continue here. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, will be clothed in fine linen, white and clean, will follow him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress and the fierceness of wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, when he came the first time, he came as the Lamb of God, the submitted servant of the Lord, the servant of mankind. But when he comes the second time, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm telling you, and we're coming back with him. Amen. Glory to God. And then the event Jesus comes back to destroy his enemies, God sets up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. Amen. And the devil will be thrown into a bottomless pit.
Amen.
For 1,000 years. See, the devil's not that powerful. The devil's not that strong. You think the devil's powerful. Yes, he's doing some powerful things. He's creating wars and pestilence and famines. That all comes from the devil. That doesn't come from God. Amen. And so he's causing all this mayhem. Why? Because he knows his time is short. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time. He's trying to do everything he can to hold on to as much power that he has right now. But he knows that he's going to be locked down. And I'm going to say, in the Christian's life, the devil should already be locked down.
Amen.
The devil should have no power over a Christian. Sin should not have no power over a Christian. Sickness should not have no power over a Christian. Poverty should not have any power over a Christian. Do you believe that today? He should be locked down, glory to God. And he will be locked down for 1,000 years. Look at Revelation 21 and 3. It says, then I saw an angel. I'm enjoying this preaching this morning. Amen. I like talking about how bad the devil's going to get it. Amen. Hasn't the devil given you a hard time through your life? Has the devil given some of us a hard time, put fear on us, put disease on, try and put some sickness on us, try and put some other stuff? But it's about time for the devil to get his.
Amen.
You believe that today? In Revelation 21, 3, it says, then I saw the angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. Wow, a pit that has no bottom. And shuts him up and sets a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. What? What? Can they take that out of the Bible? He's going to be released after that for a little while? The devil will release to test those on the earth who was never tested by temptation. And so the devil makes a final attempt to take God down, and he loses and is thrown into the fiery pit. Amen? So see, I'm going to say this, that for some reason, in the way God created us, and he loves us, God is love, but our love will always be under some kind of test at times. And so we're going to be tested, rather, and people are going to be tested if they're going to follow Satan or follow Jesus. And there's going to be a test of our love. How do you know you love somebody until you are tested first?
Yeah.
How do you know if you really truly love God? Because a lot of times we love God when everything right is happening in our life. But when things aren't happening right, then do we still love God?
Yes.
When we got problems and issues, and it tests our love at times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. So God judges creation on a white throne judgment, because the devil will come back, but Jesus will take authority and take him out for finality. In Revelation 20:11-12 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and on him sat on it, from whose face on the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So every person on this planet, you're either going to have, if you're a Christian, you're going to be in the book, the Lamb's book of life. But there's other books that records all people's works down here. And I'm telling you, thank God that my name was taken out of those books. My bad acts were taken out of those books. And my name was put in the Lamb's book of life. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the next great thing is that God's going to remake the heaven and the earth. God's going to make heaven and earth for us to enjoy, and it's called the eternal state. Amen? And so for some reason, he's going to have to remake it new. And why does he have to make it new? I have this theory that it's because heaven was already corrupted by the devil. This world system was already corrupted by the devil. And so God's going to remake it new so it will be uncorruptible and never touched by sin again. Amen. Amen. I got some agreement there. And so in Revelation 21:1, it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no more sea." Amen. So you could say that heaven was recreated. Amen. In Revelation 9:7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." How many people are making themselves ready for Christ? I'm making myself ready. In the book of Revelation, Jesus addresses seven churches. And I just want to hit these seven churches quickly, because I really believe this sermon this morning is about us making sure that we are ready and keeping our oil filled, and that we're staying wise and walking in wisdom in these last days.
Amen.
Amen. And the church of Ephesus, the key is to church of Ephesus, what they were doing, some good things in God, but they, let's read it. It says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly, remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." So Jesus is trying to get these churches, these seven churches, some of these churches, he's trying to restore them back to himself. And what happened in this book, in the Ephesus church, is that they lost their first love. Amen. Or actually, they left their first love. And so how do we return to our first love? In other words, I really believe we got to get out of the era of just going through a mundane, "Oh, it's church. Just it's Sunday morning and it's church time," and just going through the motions, but not having any heart attached to it. Amen. See, you can go through the motions of something and not have your heart attached to it. And God wants your heart attached to serving him.
Amen.
And he doesn't want it to become a legalistic law abiding. "Well, I'm showing up." Well, it's more than just showing up. It's developing your relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
You are coming out here so that you can receive more of God, so you can know God more, so you can develop your relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so how do we fall in love with God? First, you got to fall in love with the Word.
Amen.
You got to ask the Lord. Maybe you're not reading the Bible. Ask the Lord to give you a hunger and a desire to read the Bible.
Amen.
That will help you. And you know, God will do that. And then crack the book open. Crack the book open. Amen. I love that. And start trying to read it. And you may start off reading it legalistically, but if you get into it and say, "Lord, I want you to reveal your truth to me," I'm telling you, you will start to love the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. We should love the Word of God. My son, Christopher, he just turned 10. He said double digits.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm turning double digits. And he asked for a Bible for his birthday. So I bought him a real nice Bible. So I think it's nicer than mine. Amen? And so this morning, we were getting ready to go to church, and he was all dressed up, and he had his big Bible under his arm. And he said, Dad, I'm ready to go to church. Amen. Is that awesome? And I was like, yeah, man. I'm going to make a preacher out of this boy yet. Glory to God. Amen. But he had his big Bible, and he was all proud of it. Amen. Because he wanted a real Bible. You know, not these kids' Bible. He didn't want a kid's Bible. He wanted a black Bible, you know, what they use in court. Amen. So, amen. And so we need to fall in love. I like what it says in Psalms 119, 47, 48. It says here, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Notice that. And my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. Your commandments is the word. And I will meditate on your statutes. I love that. We need to fall in love with prayer. You need to fall in love with prayer. If you're going to get your love back in God, fall in love with praying. Now, praying is more than just asking God for things. Praying is communicating with God. Amen. And he wants you to communicate. Let him know it's a beautiful day. Amen. Talk to God like you're talking to your best friend. Amen. To say, Jesus, I love you. This is a beautiful day. Thank you for saving me. Just talk to him. Yeah. Amen. As if he's there, because he is. Amen. Amen. But you might want to do it, you know, not around people that don't know anything about God. Because they might think you're cuckoo. Cuckoo, cuckoo, you know. And but, you know, in private. Amen. I like to talk to God in my car where nobody's around. Of course, people are around, they may see me talking. They might think, oh, I might be on my phone or something. I don't know. But I like to talk to God. It says here in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you're called into fellowship. Prayer, another word for prayer is fellowship. Amen? We need to fall in love with worshiping the Lord. That's why we worship the Lord here. Amen? It says here in Psalms 147:1, praise the Lord, for his good to sing praises to our God, for his pleasant and praise is beautiful. Do you know praise to God is beautiful? When God sees us praising him, regardless of what we're going through, the circumstances we're dealing with, he sees us praising him. He gets excited about that. Amen. Amen. He knows that you're focusing on him. And when you're focused on him, he becomes big in your life and your problems become small in your life. Amen. Amen. And Galatians 6:10, it says, and then the next key, if we're going to fall in love, we need to fall in love with the church. It's quiet in here. We need to fall in love with the church. That means we need to love the church. What does that mean? Show up. Come to church. Love the body. Amen? We need to be loving each other. There's lots of Christians. Now, if you have a physical ailment and you're homebound, that's one thing. But if you don't have any physical ailments and you're not homebound, come to church. Amen. Praise God. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're watching online, if you don't have any physical ailments and you're not homebound, come to church, glory to God. It's better when you're in the atmosphere. Amen. And then you can practice this scripture here in Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let's do good to all those, especially those who are in a household of faith. The church of Smyrna, that church, it says here in Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. You may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. So here, this church wasn't really rebuked, but it was under a lot of intense pressure. And so the key is to stay faithful when you're under the intense pressure from the devil. You want to stay faithful in serving God, because the devil wants you just to throw up your hands and give up. But we don't give up. We keep pressing in to the things of God. It says in Hebrews 10:35, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen? in the church of Pergamum, this church, it says this way, it says, but I have a few things against you because those hold the doctrine of Balaam and taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things, sacrifice idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So this is here. This was a church that rejected. We need to reject doctrinal extremes, which means that some churches, they preach a strong grace message as if sin doesn't matter, and they don't ever mention sin in the pulpit. And so grace does not cover you to sin. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Oh, I'm preaching in the right crowd here. And it says here, but you were called in 1 Peter 1:15, but he who called you holy, you be holy in all your conduct. So God's calling us to be holy. Amen. Number two, it says here in Romans 6:1-2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. This is the Apostle Paul, the grace man. How shall we die to sin, live any longer in it? Amen. So sin doesn't make grace abound in your life. Amen. No, it's God's mercy that makes grace abound in your life. And so we love that. And so the other doctrine, it says, thus you also hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that I hate. And this was extreme legalism. You know, there are some churches that will preach, if you wear makeup, ladies, you're in sin. If you wear pants, you're in sin. Amen? If you breathe the wrong way, you're in sin. And so it's a legalistic, man's legalistic ways to try to make themselves right with God. But there's only one way to be right with God, and that's through the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's believing in faith in the blood of Jesus. And so I believe that. And in Galatians 5:1, they were trying to get some of these believers to get circumcised to make sure they were true Christians. And Paul says it this way: stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What is the yoke of bondage? Legalism. That can be a yoke of bondage. You want to be free. From whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless. Grace and truth is good medicine.
Amen.
Amen. The Church of Thyatira, this church, they were rebuked because they needed to remove impurity. In other words, they were committing sexual sins. And so we don't want to do that. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it talks about our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to glorify God in our bodies. Our bodies aren't made for sin. It's made to glorify God with. Amen? Amen. Sardis was a church that had a name for doing good works. So Sardis had a name. They were a church for doing good works. But they lacked something. They lacked their relationship, a living relationship with the Lord. So in other words, it's not image that you're trying to promote. A lot of people, some Christians will promote image. They try to look good in front of other people, but behind the scenes, they're not what they say they are. And so we need to be more focused on our internal than our external.
Amen.
Is that right? And so I love that. So we got to do that. Now, Philadelphia was another church, and I'm almost done here. And Philadelphia is a church that I pray that you guys become. Now, it's the Church of Philadelphia. This was the only church, or was basically the main church that Jesus did not rebuke. It was the faithful church. And it says here, the church had little strength but remained faithful. So even though you may not have it all going on, you may not have all the money in the bank, you might not have, you may be dealing with health issues. Remain faithful regardless of what you're dealing with.
Amen.
Amen. And he says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have little strength, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown.
Amen.
Powerful. Amen. So I love that. So this church right here, because they persevered, this is a promise that they will escape the coming judgment of the 7-year tribulation that's about to come on the earth. And then Laodicea, they need to repent of lukewarmness. Amen? They were lukewarm. And the Bible says we don't want to be cold or hot. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to either be cold or hot. Cold is refreshing. Cold is refreshing on a hot day, and hot is refreshing on a cold day. So we want to be Christians that are living our lives on fire for God. How do we keep from staying lukewarm? Stay hungry for God. Amen. That's how you keep from being lukewarm in God. You need to stay hungry for God. In other words, don't think you have it all. Don't think you know it all. Don't think you don't get to that point. Stay hungry for God, and that will keep you from getting lukewarm in the Lord. Amen? Amen. And we don't want to take God for granted. We don't want to take God for granted. Sometimes we can take God for granted and we don't press in like we need to. But I'm telling you, don't ever take Him for granted. Amen? In other words, respect your position in the Lord. And so what is the Lord doing? He's knocking on each one of our doors. He's knocking on our doors and He's wanting to come in and sup with us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So what is the Lord doing? He's knocking on hearts today. He's knocking on the hearts of those that may be Christians, that may not be walking the walk that they need to walk, and they need to get into a place where they're wise, where they're ready, where they're getting their oil filled so they can be ready for the return of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And I believe that I'm getting this church ready for Jesus' return. You are closer than you think to the return of Jesus. When you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draws near. Amen. Did you receive it this morning? Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you for these precious people out here and those that are watching. And perhaps you've never made a decision for Jesus. Well, today is the day of salvation. I want to encourage you to confess this simple prayer so that you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just say this out loud and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you pray that, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with us. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.